Welcome to the Rich Thoughts Podcast, where our goal is to glorify God and terrify the devil. Get ready. It's going to be a great journey.
Good morning and welcome to Rich Thoughts for Breakfast.
I'm Harold Herring, and that's my fine wife, Beth. You know, I've always been fascinated by stealth airplanes or anything with invisible cloaking. In fact, I recently saw where a man has developed a really like a sheet that you can hold up and it'll cloak everything. You know, but I have to admit, my frame of reference isn't that commercial of the B-2 Spirit plane known as the Stealth Bomber. But rather James Bond movies. Don't laugh. It's cool how you can make ships and cars invisible, not just to radars, but to the human eye as well. The premise is to cloak what you're doing so no one will know. Now, that may work well in movies, but let me assure you, there's no such thing as a stealth center. If you've ever said to yourself, nobody's looking, nobody will ever know, my secret is safe, then without question, you're the biggest fool you know.
Mark 4, verse 22. In the New Living Translation, for everything that is hidden will eventually be brought into the open, and every secret will be brought to light.
If you're visiting websites that you know you shouldn't, then you should know that the URLs, locations, will stay in your computer even if you delete or erase them. The impressions, the keystrokes, and cookies never leave your computer. They may not be visible to you, but they're there. All it takes is for someone who knows how to scan the hard drive. Not only does your computer retain the path of your little secrets, but so does your mental hard drive. When we allow negative or sinful thoughts to enter our thought process, an impression is made, much like a digital impression on the computer. Depending on how active we are in renewing our mind, will determine whether or not those thoughts re-enter our thought process. If we allow ourselves to feed on anything that exalts itself above the knowledge of God and His Word, then we're a stealth sinner trying to hide what can't be covered up. It doesn't matter if you lead the choir, teach in Sunday school, serve on the board of elders or deacons, or for any other position for that matter. If you allow your focus anywhere other than on the pure, the powerful, and the positive from the Word of God, then you're masquerading as a Christian. There's an old saying, in fact, we mentioned it last night on Sunday Night Live, what you think about, you speak about, and what you speak about, you bring about. See, what we think about determines our destiny. By the way, later this afternoon, the video, the stream from last night's teaching will be on the website. Strongly encourage you to watch it if you didn't do it. If you didn't see it live. Proverbs 23, 7.
Proverbs 23, verse 7. Part of what we taught last night is, for as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he.
The essence of who we are is reflected by our thought life. What we feed mentally grows. What we starve mentally dies. Have you ever visited a military facility or business that requires you to sign in and wear a visitor's pass at all times? These high security areas are trying to prevent military or industrial espionage. In other words, they're trying to keep the enemies out. Every believer needs to implement and utilize the same kind or the same type of mental security to keep unwanted visitors out of their thinking and decision-making. We've got to take control of our thought processes and recognize that when a negative thought or anything else exalts itself above the knowledge of God and tries to illegally enter the premises of our mind, don't allow unwanted house guests in your mind. And certainly don't allow them to stay long enough to entertain them in such a way that they could build a stronghold. The scripture says we have the mind of Christ. But there are some things in our brain, our mental filing cabinet, the hard drive of our mind, that truthfully Christ would have nothing to do with. We need to fully realize that we can't hide our thoughts from God.
The contemporary English version of Mark 4, verse 22 says it this way. There is nothing hidden that will not be made public. There is no secret that will not be well known. Now, there's a scripture that is often misunderstood. In Numbers 32:23, Numbers 32, verse 23 in the King James Version, it says, "But if ye will not do so, behold, ye have sinned against the Lord, and be sure your sin will find you out."
This verse is generally used in telling folks that if they sin, their sins will be revealed. However, Moses is actually speaking of one specific sin, the refusal of the children of Israel to follow the Lord, obeying his instructions. That being said, there are many sins that go unexposed right here on planet Earth, which will only be exposed on Judgment Day.
Romans 2, verse 16. Romans 2:16 in the Classic Amplified Bible. On that day, when, as my gospel proclaims, God will judge the secrets, all the hidden thoughts and concealed sins of men through Christ Jesus.
Notice the verse says hidden thoughts and concealed sins. Here's a revelation. Concealed sins may be such for a season, but not forever. The adulterer may never be exposed. The thief may never be caught. But that doesn't mean their sins are concealed forever. Judgment Day is coming. Let's talk about hidden thoughts. First, there are no hidden thoughts from God. Psalm 139, verses 2, 3, and 4 in the Message Bible. God, investigate my life. Get all the facts firsthand. I'm an open book to you, even from a distance. You know what I'm thinking. You know when I leave and when I get back. I'm never out of your sight. You know everything I'm going to say before I start the first sentence. He knows what we're thinking.
Second, he knows what you're thinking about before you even think it. Psalm 139, verse 2 in the New Century Version says, "You know my thoughts before I think them."
Third, understand the devil wants to build a stronghold in your mind. Literally, a stronghold is a house made of thoughts.
Luke 11, verses 21 and 22 in the Classic Amplified Bible. When the strong man, fully armed, from his courtyard, guards his own dwelling, his belongings are undisturbed. His property is at peace and is secure. But when one stronger than he attacks him and conquers him, he robs him of his whole armor on which he had relied and divides up and distributes all the goods as plunder or spoil.
The enemy wants our minds to be his undisturbed property. That's why he wants to control our thought life. Have you ever known anyone who was a prisoner of war? I've had the honor of getting to know some brave men who were taken captive by the enemy and endured being a prisoner of war. The devil would like nothing better than to make you a mental prisoner of war. He tries to create an atmosphere of panic and uncertainty. Then he'll bring negative thoughts into your mind, trying to make you think you have no way of escape. He wants to replace your faith with fear, your determination with doubt, your past with his future for you. The enemy's objective is to build barriers, to create strongholds, to prevent you from achieving your divine destiny.
Fourth, you can tear down mental strongholds. The first key to fighting the good fight, of waging effective warfare, of tearing down strongholds, is to follow his instructions. When we follow his instructions, we follow the words of 1 Timothy 6, verse 12 in the Classic Amplified Bible. Fight the good fight of faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called when you made your good confession in the presence of many witnesses.
The second key is fighting the good fight in faith. Faith is not invisible. Most people think that faith is invisible, but it isn't. Listen to this, Hebrews 11:1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Please notice that the thing hoped for is invisible, but faith is the evidence that makes it real. There's no such thing as invisible evidence. You can't go into a courtroom and win a case with invisible evidence. The thing hoped for is invisible. If you have faith for a new house, the new house might be invisible right now, but your faith won't be invisible. If your faith is invisible, the house is not going to show up either. We're fighting the good fight of faith, which is visible. How do you make that which is seemingly invisible visible? You got to see it in the spirit. In other words, see it, believe it, confess it, expect it, never give up on it, never give up on it, and manifest it. The third key is fighting to win and to finish what you've been fighting for.
2 Timothy 4, verse 7 says, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith.
Never give in nor give way to negative thoughts. This mental and spiritual resolve will allow you not only to fight the good fight, but tear down every stronghold the enemy tries to erect. The enemy will lead you to believe your thoughts are stuff hidden from God. They're not. Never fall prey to that lie. On Saturday, I had a conversation with a new friend named Tom. He lives in Venice, Florida. And he called to apologize to me for, as he said, plagiarizing my teaching on fivefold leadership in the marketplace. He told me that he was in Kenya speaking at a meeting. And he gave the speech that he'd prepared. And the leadership there was so blessed by his teaching, they said, we want you to teach again. And he thought, I have nothing. But then he got online and he found my teaching, listened to it, taught it, and it blessed the people. They'd been praying in a certain area, and that teaching confirmed the direction they were going. I had no idea that God was going to use that in Kenya or by someone I'd never met, but he did. And you see, that's what your support of this ministry helps us do. It helps us spread the word in ways that sometimes we don't even know. By the way, I told Tom, I said, God gave me the teaching, but you can never copyright what God gives to you. I said, feel free to use that in any other teaching I got. Because while I may have been the vehicle to write it or type it, God's the one who gave it. I'll tell you a story about that sometime. Anyhow, I was blessed by that call and my new friendship with Tom. Go to haroldherring.com at the top where it says sow a seed. Just ask God what seed he'd have you put in the ground. Do what he says. It's all we ever ask. And until tomorrow morning at 8:30 Eastern, God bless you. Happy trails.
And keep thinking rich thoughts.
We love you. We appreciate you. Thank you for your support. God bless you. Bye-bye.